Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there, and I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Little Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Little Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality customizable photo goods for your digital photos. Driven by belief that everyone has a story to tell, this company is known for its elevated design and thoughtfully sourced materials. Signature products include the Lay Flat album, touting ultra-thick pages and foil-stamped covers, textured matte everyday prints, and a line of customizable frames. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, they have a product you can personalize. I don't know about your kids, but Ford and Shep love flipping through photo book memories that we have laying around our house that we've made with Artifact Uprising. We have some from our wedding, vacations through the years, and holidays, and I love having the books around the house for the whole family to enjoy. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, Living Fully listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use the code LivingFully through December 31st. Hey y'all, this is Mallory Irvin, and it's time for all of us to live fully. It's so important in this crazy world of ours that we stay connected, inspired, and motivated to be and do our best. And that's not always easy. I'm here with my guests and friends to share the stories and lessons we've learned to help you live your best life every day and truly begin living fully. Let's make it happen and get started with today's episode. I'm here with Morgan Harper Nichols, who is, oh my gosh, totally amazing. I'm going to give her a quick little formal intro, and then I'm going to tell you about her from my heart. So, Morgan is an artist and poet, and I'm certain that you have seen her impactful work all over Instagram when someone you have followed has shared a post of hers. Morgan invites others to submit stories on her website, and she writes a brief letter of encouragement about them, paired with the most beautiful visual art. And this art is sent to them for free and shared anonymously on social media. What an amazing idea. So Morgan also, she says she does this as a daily practice of generosity and to connect people on a heart level. This practice of gratitude and creativity has garnered her over 1 million followers on Instagram. A couple days ago, I saw it hit 1.1. Congrats. She's crazy. Also a fellow boy mom. And has just written a book, just released a book. So, Morgan, I cannot tell you how honored I am to have you today. And I just told you this. So, Morgan and I were just talking off camera and audio. And I said, Morgan, I've had a lot of great people on this podcast. And I'll tell people, hey, I'm having so and so on my podcast and this and that. And sometimes, like I'll tell, sometimes, you know, people will know them every once in a while. Every single person that I said, I'm having Morgan Harper Nichols on my podcast said, oh my gosh, I love her. People at the grocery store, my babysitter for my children, literally the girl that was doing my nails, everyone. So,
wow. Well, I am speechless, and now I want to come hang out where you live. Sounds like maybe
come on, girl.
It's my kind of people over there.
So you're in California, correct?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. So I am based out of Nashville, and I know you did a podcast with my friend Miles Adcox. I listened to it, and it was
amazing. Yes.
That was so awesome. I felt like I got to sit in on your therapy sessions together.
Oh my goodness.
It was so soothing.
Yeah, that episode, I mean, that whole day was just, it was just, I'm still trying to find words for that. And that was like almost a year ago, which is so crazy to think about.
Yeah, you were pregnant with Jacob, with your son, I think.
Yes, yes, I was. So yeah, now he's like walking around, going to college. And so a lot of time has passed since then. So
yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm going to start out with this, Morgan, because I, like you, have had this journey to the space that I'm at right now that was just kind of one of those windy roads that you draw in your beautiful imagery on Instagram. And I feel like, you know, my whole podcast and mission is about living your life to the fullest. You're fine. Say hi to your husband.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to motion to him where the box is. And I'm like,
I can pause it too.
It's right here. The box, the other way, yeah.
Morgan's husband's getting something out of the car. She's recording in her car.
Yes, yes, real life, guys. This is a podcast exclusive here.
Mm-hmm. This is behind the scenes. So you have arrived at your journey of being this amazing light on the internet. Specifically on Instagram, that's where I've consumed a lot of your content in a really roundabout way. So you literally started out like you were in the music industry and you were a backup singer. And just in your life, you always talk about how you felt like you were just kind of in the background, a person that never thought that you were the one that like had something big to say. And how amazing it is that here we are sitting here, your book has just released and you are look at what you're doing in the world. It's truly amazing, changing people's lives. I talk a lot about this on the podcast about how, you know, you don't have to have it all figured out. You can really like ride the waves of life and end up in a really amazing place. So can you talk a little bit about that, about your journey here and how you accepted your journey here?
Yeah, so my journey, wow. So I will start by saying I'm very much so still on the journey.
Same.
And that's just one of the amazing things about life. It's just like, you know, the seasons change, a lot of times the location change, the people we see every day change. But I think at the core, you know, so many of us, myself included, are just like, where do I fit? Where do I belong? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, why am I here? And all these really big questions. And, you know, a lot of times, like for me in my life, I had a wonderful opportunity to grow up in a home with like very intentional, present people. My parents were in ministry. My parents started a church when I was, 4 years old, I think.
Wow.
And my sister and I were homeschooled, and my parents were just like, and they still are these kind of people who are just like so welcoming and so present with people. Like just this past Sunday, I was at their house and they were like, oh my gosh, like you got to hear the story about this couple that we met. And they told me this whole story about these people that they met. And I was like, wow, where did you meet them? It was really in-depth conversation. They're like, yeah, we talked for like an hour. I was like, where were you? Oh, we were in TJ Maxx. Like, okay. I'm like, who stands in TJ Maxx for an hour just talking to people? My parents.
That's
and this
awesome.
Is how they've always been that way. And I've learned so much from just seeing that and growing up around that. Like they're very special people in that way. And at the same time, being an introvert, I also really struggled because I was just like, well, what does that look like for me? Because I don't really feel comfortable like talking to people out in public. Like, I'm like, it seems fun, but I always felt like even around like other kids my age, like I always felt like I was just like a little late on the joke, you know, or like the inside joke. I'm like, I'm the one that missed it. I didn't get it. And
yeah.
I just felt that way in a lot of spaces. And I think a lot of the way that I sort of like resolved a lot of those feelings was just when I got home at night, I would just journal and I would write and I would not have answers for it, but just try to write it out. And many times they just came out as prayers to God. A lot of times I would write to my diary, like as if like she was a person. Like I would like, she was like my friend that I could really talk to. So I started keeping a diary at 8 years old, and wow. I kept it up. And to some, in some capacity I've kept, I'm 29, in some capacity I've kept some kind of daily diary or journal. So for 21 years, I've been wow. doing that. And for me, it's just a way of just like getting out those things that I don't feel like I could say out loud, because out loud, I just felt like, I mean, out in the world, I just felt like there are so many expectations. It's like, oh, well, you're a preacher's kid. Like you should be like this. It's like, oh, well, you're artistic. Well, then that means you should do this and you should take this career path and yeah. you should do this and you should do that. And it's a lot of it. And it's interesting because like, I didn't even so much get that from my parents as much as I did from like other people. Yeah. And I just remember like, in high school, like, and you know, especially when you're a teenager, you know, when other people say things to you, like you listen, like you're just like, oh, well, like that's what you think.
Yes. And they put labels on you because you have, you know, a certain type of skill, or because you don't
yeah.
have a type of skill. And some people will take those labels and say, that's who I am. And it hinders.
And this is something I'm so passionate about. And I'm actually actively working right now to figure out how I can spend more time with like young people, like high schoolers, because I'm just like, awesome. That's such a serious time. There's so much pressure on kids. And just like, you know, there's so many people like myself included. It's like, oh, well, you're good at this sport or you're good at this thing. Well, this is what you need to do yeah. for the rest of your life. And then it's like, for whatever reason, if that doesn't work out, then you feel like a failure and you exactly. feel like you let people down who believed in you, whether it was your parents or your youth pastor or your teachers. And so, yeah, I feel like a lot of my life was that. It was like trying to figure out how to manage this, like, okay, I see my parents like being very intentional with people through what I can see. I'm like, I feel like this is like who I'm supposed to be, like in terms of like loving others, like in the way that Jesus does. And I'm like, this is beautiful. But at the same time, it's just like, it's like, oh, are we really sure Jesus was such an extrovert? I'm like, did he have an introverted side?
Like, I love that.
Just like to paint by the sea of Galilee. Like, I would love to know.
That's the best. I've never heard anyone say it like that.
I just want to know. Does anyone remember when Jesus was like, yeah, I'm just going to leave, like in the middle, like let the disciples, and he's like, I'm just going to go off and pray. I'm like, he was probably writing poetry too. So,
that is so funny. He was totally writing poetry and posted it on Instagram. Yes. Yeah. He didn't want to see the people. He just wanted to.
He was like, I just need a minute. I need a minute.
Oh man, that is so funny.
Yeah. I just often felt like, I'm like, wow, like, I love these people. Like, I love this high energy youth group. Woo, yeah, let's go, let's party. But at the same time, it was just like, but where do I fit in this? You know, I'm like, I'm not, you know, I would just hear people like speaking and singing and they're just like thinking on their feet and they're big dreamers. And I'm like, I need time. Like I need time in my journals and with my paints and my yeah. guitar to like think this through and pray about it and write through it. And so, yeah, a lot of my younger years, and I mean, I guess I'm still young, technically I'm 29, but a lot of my teens and my early 20s, especially, was just like really, really wrestling with that. And for me, I think of the many things that came out of that, one thing that came out of it was just like, for some reason, I just kept writing and not always sharing it with people, but I kept writing and I just kept trying to put these thoughts. Oftentimes they were questions, just putting them on paper. And I was like, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen with these. I don't know if this is just something for me to read, or maybe I'll look back on this 10 years from now or not. Maybe this is just something that needs to happen right now. So I ended up just kind of like still being passionate about writing and making art and writing songs and doing that kind of thing. However, I mean, there weren't really any opportunities to do that like as a career. So mm-hmm. as I graduated from college, I had just gotten married, met my husband in college, and I was just like, all right, I'll just, you know, I'll just work a day job. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's just what I'll do. And in creativity, that'll just happen on the side. And I was totally content with it and happy with it. And I started working as an admission counselor from the college that I graduated from. And position that I was working in actually ended up moving to another campus across the state. And this is back in Georgia where I'm from. And I was just like, whoa, okay. I wasn't planning on that because I wasn't prepared. We were not prepared financially to move with this position. And we had just gotten married and we had just bought a house and like a super affordable house. So even we were just like, okay, we've got a mortgage and student loans and a car note. I mean, it was a lot, you know, it's a lot when you graduate from college and all those things are hitting you all at once. So yeah, there was just no way. I was like, we tried and we're like, we can't do it. We won't be able to move. So I was kind of stuck and my husband was still in school at the time. Long story short, I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me and she actually ended up doing music and she was very much so into YouTube and like it paid off like for a few years. Like she was just like the weird kid uploading her random
comedy
sketches on YouTube. Yes. And yeah, way back in the day, the good old days of YouTube, like her first thing she did was like I escaped from homeschool comedy sketch.
I gotta go back and watch that.
Yes, my parents actually made her take it down because this was like before the internet was what it is today. And they were like, you put that up for strangers without asking. And they made her take it down. And she was so upset because she had like quite a few views.
Yeah.
And they were like, we don't care. You gotta take it down. So anyway, at some point they ended up letting her re-upload it. And she just like went all in. And she was just like doing these funny sketches and writing funny songs. And that ended up getting her opportunities to like be a part of a girls tour and then like a record deal. All this cool stuff started happening for her. And while that was happening, everything was like kind of going downhill with my job plan. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I were like, hey, Jamie, my sister, she didn't have like a team or anything. So at that time, because she was just starting out, we were like, what if we just kind of went on the road with Jamie and we just kind of figure things out from there. So that was essentially what happened and how I actually ended up doing music. And I ended up being on stage quite a bit and ended up
signing
a record deal. And a lot of it was, for me, it was motivated by because I ended up finding out that a lot of singer-songwriters, which I didn't know, is like when you sign a record deal, you also get to sign like a songwriting deal as well a lot of times. And I was like, no, that sounds fun. I was like, I'll sing if I get to do that. So I was like, I get to write songs for people. Like, this is amazing. So that was a really, really like serious, like high energy season of just like a lot to do. However, it's just, you know, the music industry, everything moves really quickly. And a lot of it, it's just like, you know, it's, you kind of have to like have some hits, you know, really early on to be able to sustain it. Or it's not an either or. There are lots of different ways to make music. Yeah. But I'm just talking about the experiences that were being presented to me. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, or you could tour a whole lot. And, you know, there's a way to make a living doing that. Like, yes, it's not the most like, it's not the most like predictable job in the sense of like, you know, you're in a new place every day. And sometimes you're on a tour bus, sometimes you're in a van, sometimes you're on a train. And I was just like, I'm not sure I'm equipped for that. I was just like, my favorite part of shows till this day, and I mean, I still play shows. My favorite part was always after the show when I got the chance to talk to people one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would just be standing by my table and, you know, I wasn't like a big actor or anything. Not a lot of people knew who I was. So I didn't have like a long line, but whoever wandered over and was just like, hey, I enjoyed that song. Or what's your story? Like that was always like my favorite moment of the night. What ended up happening was after it was kind of looking like there weren't going to be a lot of sustainable opportunities for me to keep going down this music path, my husband and I randomly decided to, we had moved to Nashville for this, and we had randomly decided to just move to Dallas, Texas. We're just like, why not?
Oh, rent's
really cheap and we know a few people. Let's go. So yeah, we moved to Dallas, and that was in 20 I don't remember the year we actually moved. I want to say it was 2014, 2015. I don't know. I feel bad that I can't remember. I don't remember the exact details at this point. It's kind of running together.
I held you to it.
However, what I'm trying to get to here is that in 2016, we were living in Dallas, and you know, I kind of had this optimistic view of like, hey, I don't know what's gonna happen, but we're gonna figure it out. At least, you know, there's a roof over our heads and we're okay. My husband was working in construction at the time. And yeah, he was working like as like a freelancer in that sense. And I was working as a freelancer, just doing random writing and graphic design work. And yeah, it was all over the place, total chaos. But yeah, we're just like, hey, you know what? We're fine. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I just been kind of keeping this like optimistic view and just like hopeful view. I'm like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to find the thing. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. And then in November of 2016, like it all just hit me. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm like, maybe I should just give up. I'm like, I know I'm a creative person. I love to write. I love to make things, but clearly, I'm like, doors just keep closing. I was like, it doesn't matter what I try, how much I pour all of my soul into things, all of my time, energy, money. It doesn't matter what I pour in. I'm not seeing the fruit, you know? Yeah. Maybe this is just the end. Maybe I was not meant to do this. Maybe this was just something in my childhood, and I'm just like, have this fantasy that I can turn this into a sustainable job. Maybe it's not that. Mm-hmm. So I sat down, and for the very first time in a long time, I just started crying. And as I just kind of stopped, my husband was working late that night, he wasn't there, and I was just sitting there like in silence in the house, and it was raining outside and freezing cold. And we're just in this, you know, one bedroom apartment, like no pretty furniture, anything. I had this like IKEA desk that was like falling apart. And I had this Moleskine journal, and I hadn't written anything in it in a long time. And I just opened it and I started writing this poem. And it started with, when you start to feel like things should have been better this year, remember the mountains and valleys that brought you here. Mm-hmm. They are not accidents and they are not mistakes. Those moments were not in vain. And you are not the same. You have grown and you are growing. You are living, you are breathing. You are wrapped in endless, boundless grace. And things will get better. There's more to you than yesterday. Mm. And as I wrote that, I did it. I would love to say that like that was the moment I was like, yeah, I believe it, but I didn't. I don't really think I believed it in that moment. It was just kind of like I just felt like I was supposed to say it. Yeah. Like, I just felt like it was supposed to come out of me. I didn't know why. And it did not feel like, it wasn't like a happy, hopeful moment. Like, the sun didn't suddenly burst through the clouds and it stopped raining. It was just kind of like,
but sometimes it's not.
Yeah, exactly. And mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, that's the moment. Yeah, I wrote that. I was like, who knows? Maybe that's just my last little poem I'm going to write, whatever. And then I kind of sat with it for a few minutes. And then like, I was like, you know what? I could post this on Instagram. Let me just see. So I took a picture of it and I got ready to share it. And I went through all the little screens on Instagram, you know, take a picture of it, the filter, the everything, the caption and all that. And I got to the top right corner in my thumb and got ready to press share. And like a quarter of an inch away from hitting that button, I just stopped myself. And I was like, no, I was like, I can't share this. This is too vulnerable. I was like, this is declaring to the world that I feel like a failure. And I was like, I'm not ready for that. That's too much. But at the same time, like, I just felt like this push, like I was supposed to get it out there. So what I did was I decided to just share on my personal Pinterest. I was like, because nobody
looks at Pinterest.
Yeah, I was like, no one's gonna see it in there. I was like,
they are though. They are.
Yeah. So
I have learned that too.
Oh yes. And whoa, was I wrong? So I shared it on Pinterest, and I forgot about it. So this was November, and then I can't remember if it was that like a month later or a month and a half later, somewhere between December and January, I started getting messages on Instagram from people that I knew saying things like, hey, did you see this like reality star posted your poem? Like, you write poems? Wow. And I was like, oh yeah, I did write that. No idea how she found
that.
But that was definitely me. And then like the next day, someone was like, hey, did you see this like athlete share your poem? And it was like a series of days where it just kept happening back to back. Like people who were nowhere in my circle whatsoever, like people I've never met, people I didn't even know, but they had a following and people were noticing that they were posting it and telling me like, there's a poem out there with your name on it. And I was just like, I have no idea how that happened. So I went back, looked at Pinterest. It had been repinned over 100,000 times. And till this day, I have no idea how that happened. I didn't even use tags when I posted it.
Oh, I do. And it's when Jesus left those disciples, he went on his Instagram. He told everybody, look at Pinterest. I got Brynn Morgan.
That's exactly what it was.
Hey, that was a redirection from God. That's exactly
what it was. Yeah, and it was such a wake-up call. It was so humbling. But even then, I was still doubting. I was still like, that was just a one-time thing. Like, let me not make this into a whole thing. And, you know, I just think like, wow, like how many times does that happen in life? You know, where something good happens and it's just like, oh, brush it off. Like that was nothing. And I totally did that. And I was just like, yeah, this is nothing, whatever. But one thing that really sort of humbled me and honestly led to what I'm doing today, which is writing for people's stories that they send me, is even though I had this enormous self-doubt and I was still just kind of like in this really cynical place of like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't know how to do this anymore. I'm not an artist. You know, that was just something I did as a kid. Even though I was in that place, while that was happening, I started to receive messages from people who were encountering and finding this poem. And so many of them were messages of people and they were sharing their stories. Like, this is what this poem means to me. And this is why I resonated with it and why it resonated with me. And their stories were far more like intense than anything I had ever been through. Just grief, loss, like just things that we don't want to happen to anyone. And it's just like, wow. I was like, something that I sat down and wrote when I was like kind of having a pity party about like my career and my life's purpose. I was like, something that I wrote about in that moment, like in that vulnerable place, could connect with someone else in their vulnerable place, even though they have been through things that I can never even imagine going through. Like they had lost things that I could never even imagine losing. And I was just like, that was humbling. That was humbling for me. And what ended up happening from that was like, it was through hearing their stories that I felt inspired to write. So it was like, when I was reading these stories, I was like, okay, I can't figure out how to write poetry or write songs that will top the charts on radio, but I can write for her. I was like, I can write for her. And that to me, feels like it matters. I was like, that is what I want to do. I was like, she took the time to send me her story. I want to write for her.
So that's what started what you're saying.
Yeah, that's
how cool.
So that's what started, because I looked up one day and I was like, why do I suddenly feel like compelled to write? Like, why do I suddenly feel like this new like surge, this new like push to create? And it was through other people's stories. It was other people's stories that really, truly woke me up out of that, just that slumber of like doubt and not believing in what was possible and just really just being in that pit of self-doubt. I mean, honestly, self-doubt is like a really key thing of what it was, which is really doubting like what was possible and like what God was stirring inside of me. I'm like, I didn't even believe it. So it was really, truly talking to other people and interacting with them. So that was how 2017 started. And it took until that October. It wasn't until that October that I literally just had a moment. It just all like culminated in like just one thought. I was like, Oh, I know what I'll do. I will literally write for people's stories. I'll invite people to share their story with me, whoever, and whoever responds, then I'll just write for their story. And then if I share it, then I'm just essentially CCing everybody else on what I made. I was like, I don't have to write for all these people like out there, these strangers. But I think a lot of times, like creative block and writer's block, like a lot of that comes for me, at least when I start getting in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to try to write for all these people. I'm like, Who am I to write for all these people? And in those moments where I'm like, no, I'm not trying to write for all these people. I'm trying to write for one person. I was like, I can write for one person at a time. And that matters, you know, I posted on my Instagram on October 16th, 2017, I posted on my Instagram story. I was like, and it wasn't like a fancy graphic or anything. I had an iPad at that time, but I wasn't really doing art in the capacity of what I'm doing right now. I was like, just exploring. I didn't know anything about making artwork on an iPad. I was just like, I downloaded some apps and I was just like, okay, I can use this thing.
Wow.
Like, I always preferred like physical art, but I was just like, I didn't have the space and I was actually out of town when I started this project. And I was like, okay, well, I have this iPad. I'm just going to use this. So that wasn't even the plan. Like, it wasn't even the plan to like do digital art. Like, I'm going to do digital art. Like, it did not happen. It was just
the background literally for what you were writing for people.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
And then to see it turn into this,
So wild. It was like the moment I decided to just like surrender this whole view, this whole like worldview that I had of like success and like you can only have a career in the arts if you're famous or if you're respected by the executives and all this.
Yes.
It's just not true.
It's just not true.
I'm like, that's one way of doing it. That's one way. I'm like, there are people who write songs and they become hits right away. And then they're singing in arenas the next night. And then that's their path. But there are millions and billions of other people out there who are using creativity to reach people one by one. And like, there are like 82-year-old pastors in Nowhereville, South Georgia, who are using creativity to speak to a room of 10 people. And I believe, I just like made that person up. That's not like, I wasn't like telling the story of someone I knew. That was just like the first image that came to mind. But I'm like, there are art teachers in the middle of nowhere in Florida who like don't have funding in their school, but like they're scraping up dollars to buy some washable paints at the craft store for their students. So I'm like that right there. I'm like, that is creativity. And I think that, and I'm like, I want to be a part of that. And I was like, and if it ends up being on a stage somewhere, you know, on a bestsellers list somewhere, then great. That's awesome. But I'm like, I've already tried to like pursue that and that just wears me out. And I'm like, it's about the journey and about the path and about the day by day, person by person, one by one, story by story. And I'm so grateful that it all just ended up happening that way, because I couldn't have planned it. You know, I couldn't have planned it.
Yeah, it's what a beautiful journey. What a beautiful, it reminds me of all of those. I love your Instagram and it reminds me of all those graphics that you do with the path. And like, it's just this crazy windy road. And then there's a moment, and there have been so many moments like that in my own life, where you're redirected and where something happens. And I think those are the gifts from God, from the universe,
absolutely,
whatever you want to call it. Those are the things that are like laid in your lap. And just like you said, sometimes we try to brush them off. Like, I'm not worthy of that. Like, that's, you know, that happened one time, but like, that's not who I am. I am this, whoever I was yesterday, you know, the person you're talking to in that poem. And it's like, man, if we can just follow that path, even if it looks totally different than the path that we thought the path we would be on would look like, if we can just follow that path, like the things that can happen when we surrender. And, you know, I was thinking of your story, like while you were telling that, and there were like so many thoughts going in my head. And, usually on my podcast, I'm like, oh, I'll jump in and say this and I'll jump in. But you, I just wanted to, I was just fascinated by you. You have some sort of gift that is very special. And I can't really put words to it. I'm sure you can put words to it, but I just wanted to listen to your journey and to your story. There's so much beauty and hope and just amazingness in your story. But I was thinking, you know, it's funny, we get the things that we need in life if we surrender and if we start going on the path and if we let go of the outcomes of, oh, I got to end up on the stage or whatever. Yeah. And I was thinking about you and saying, here I am an introvert, but I love to create and I knew the stage didn't feel right and I knew this didn't feel right. And then I thought of what a cool thing that this fell into her lap of, oh, okay, I don't feel like good enough or enough of who I am yet to get out there and tell my own story, but this opportunity to like share someone else's story. And it's almost like that little corner that you needed to turn like as an introvert. And that made you able to share it, like that one little thing. And what a gift that was, because here you are now, like with a book and with, you're truly changing people's lives. I like I said, I've talked to so many people. The girl that babysits for my boys, her name's Lauren. And I said, do you know Morgan Harper Nichols? She said, oh my gosh, yes. I repost her stuff all the time. I have her, a big quote blown up above the beds that the kids, you know, in high school, they come to her. She's a school nurse and they'll come there. And she said, sometimes they're just so overwhelmed and they're just, and it's one of your quotes. And I wish I could remember and had written down which one of your quotes it was, but.
Oh, wow.
She has up in her office. And like, how many of
that
those
is so,
people,
oh,
and
wow.
How many of those 82-year-old pastors in Florida that you're just talking about, like, that have a piece of your work that they use in their work or that they use to motivate themselves to do the things that they, you know, feel called to do in this world. Just what it is, a cool thing that you're doing. And you're just, I could go on and on and on about you.
Wow, well, thank you.
Let me tell y'all about something that my family has used for years. HelloFresh is a meal delivery service with farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy and fun and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. From the planning to the shopping to the prep to actually getting everyone to enjoy what you made, family dinners can be stressful. HelloFresh gets it. They make it easy by delivering fresh ingredients and picky eater approved recipes right to your door each week. My pickiest eater would probably be my oldest child, Ford, and he even loves HelloFresh meals when we make them. Back to school season comes with a lot. It means shopping, after school activities, and a lot less free time. So skip the meal planning and grocery store runs with nutritious and delicious meals from HelloFresh. Y'all know that we are all about convenience and ease around here, and HelloFresh makes our lives so easy by making cooking enjoyable for the whole family. And let me tell you about a great offer that they are offering my listeners. For a limited time, kids eat free. So go to HelloFresh.com/livingfullykids to unlock this exclusive offer. One free kids meal per box for 2 months while the subscription is active. That's free kids meals just by going to HelloFresh.com/livingfullykids.
Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there. And I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Lil Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Lil Critters gummy vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Lil Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there. And I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Lil Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And
And that is Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting their essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Little Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids their vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now.
I have a couple questions that I want to ask you just about, like, because I love your story because you weren't one of those people that it just fell into your lap and it just happened for you.
Yeah.
Like, you really had to. You had to, like,
yeah, it's been a slow coming.
Yeah, but like, here you are, you're 29. Like, yeah. Let's realize that.
Yeah, I still feel like it's slow, and I don't mind it. Like, I like it. I'm just like, that's just the pace of life.
It's just the pace in life. Okay, so my favorite quote and, like, picture on your Instagram, and it's one of the ones, like, that I have flagged, and I'll go back to every once in a while, because Morgan, you and I both know that, like, space that we get in, when you have some success in this space, things can start moving fast. Here come around the corner, the agents and the managers and the brand deals and the book deals and the podcasts and the, and it can start just big wheels keep on turning. You know about all those backup scenes in Proud Mary song. So it can go really fast. And there's this quote that I want to, like, read it off of my phone, but can you remember your quotes in your head? Like, could you?
Most of them. Yeah. Yeah. Most of them. Yeah.
That's a gift in itself.
Yeah. I may mess it up, but.
Okay. So I'm finding this quote, but it's the one that you said, you were talking about technology and you were talking about, you said, this isn't a put down your phone talk. In a world of technology, and when I think you said it was like in 5.2 seconds, when you search the word meaning, you garner 4 billion results. Like, you don't even take the time anymore. And you said, what am I doing with all that time now saved? What am I doing with that? And you said, it's so hard to slow down when you don't have to, in a world where you don't have to.
It was
something like that. And it moves me to this day. And I wish that I'm going to find the quote. And
I feel so bad because I'm like, gosh, I don't remember. I feel like the art I used, like, a blush color, but I'm like, that is.
I got it. Look, I found it.
Do that every.
There you go.
Yes. Oh, I didn't use a blush color. That one was, yes. Oh, I do remember that. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You said in the picture, you say, when you slow down long enough to think about all you've traveled through, it's actually pretty remarkable you're here. But me, I love all these long captions that you write about your pictures too. And it said, you know, you're talking about how, like, we're never finished sorting. The stack is never finished. There's always something to check. There's always something to react to. Our work here is endless. Yeah. And it's in all that endlessness that we lose count of miles traveled, lessons we have gathered, the experiences we hold, the places we've been get uploaded and held hostage on the other side of a screen glass. My photo albums are empty. My photographs are now files. If I were to travel to all these places in a year, I would be able to hold all of my journaling and capturing from all these experiences in my hand, organized, searchable, zip fileable, convenient, yes, while also making it convenient for me to forget to hold those moments closely with gratitude. It's so hard to slow down when I don't have to. I no longer have to flip through the dictionary for definitions when the search for meaning renders about 3,500,000,000 results in about 5.8 seconds, 0.58 seconds. It doesn't even take a full second. I don't have answers for all of this, but all I know that it's starting to make sense why it's so hard to slow down. Technology saves me time, but what am I doing with that time now saved? This is not meant to be a lecture on the use of technology. It isn't even meant to be a look up from your phone right now speech. It's a note of personal realization, a discovery within a craving for slowness. And you say, I'm grateful for travels in my life that have challenged me to go beyond my limits. And I'm also remembering a poem that talks about, like, going beyond the limits of your longing. And I could go on and on. I could read and read and read all this, but I just, that move, it moves me, Morgan, to this day when I read that, because it is so impossible for me just personally to slow down sometimes.
Yes.
When I had a new baby this year, I just was finding like, I was finding a pull back to everything else. Like, it's still going, like feeling like I got to catch up to it. And wow, that quote, just, I read it. I read it a lot and it means a lot to me.
That means so much to me. That was a piece that like, I almost didn't share, because I was just like, I don't even know if this makes sense, like, for others, or if it's just something I need for myself. And then when I shared it, I was like, I don't know, like, maybe someone will get, and like, I was kind of anticipating, I'm like, maybe this is like a good conversation we could have. And there wasn't a ton of conversation. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have shared that. But at the same time, I was just like, no, like, I needed to share that. Like, if anyone reads this, I just want them to know where I am. I'm like, I know how it feels to look at people on these platforms and think like, oh, they have it all together. Oh, they're growing so much. Oh, look at what they did in such a short amount of time. I'm like, I know it's so, you know, all the viral content out there is like, oh, they went viral doing this. They went viral doing that. I was like, I know how that feels. I'm like, I just want anyone that reads this to know, like, I am a person who is learning how to crave slowness and learning how to slow down. And it's kind of like I said before, like, I used to feel like everything in my life was moving so slowly. Like, it was taking so long to make friends. It was taking so long for things in my career to work out. It was taking so long to pay off student loans, like all these things taking so long. And, you know, this work that I'm doing now, it's just taught me, like, you know, learn how to like appreciate and make room for slowness. And it's going to be harder in today's time because everything is moving so quickly. So we have to like be intentional about like practicing like what it means to like find things in our life that remind us that it's okay if things grow slowly. Yes. Like, I just started, I spent literally like $5 like buying some seeds and a little pot and some soil, and I put it on my back deck and I was like, I'm gonna start gardening this year. And like, I'm already getting frustrated because I'm like, when do these freaking flowers
come on?
The nursery told me that these grow in January. It's January 24th and I haven't seen a single flower.
Oh, that's the best.
Like, that's right, I forget to water you guys sometimes. and all of them almost died the other day. And I was like, yeah, but I'm waiting, you know. But at the same time, it's like, gosh, I'm so glad that's stirring in me, like learning how to wait for things, like even just these small things. And, you know, my son has definitely motivated a lot of that in me, because, you know, watching him grow, it's like, you know, he'll learn things and then I'm like, okay, you know, on to the next thing. He's like, no, I just want to sit with this for a little while, you know?
Yes. And like how slowly they do things too. It's if you're a person, like, I'm a person that's my whole life, I have moved fast, 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 fast. And even when, like, you know, Ford is my oldest, and when he was learning to walk, and now he wants to walk everywhere. He doesn't want to go in the stroller, he wants to walk. And like, I'm trying to get in the Whole Foods. And like, we need to go faster. And he's just
step.
And it's like, so, and it makes you slow down. And okay, so what are some of those things then? Like, do you have any practices or any things? I know you said you're still on that journey of breaking it and figuring out how to bring it into your life. But anything for the listeners, like, that here's how I did it, or here's how maybe you could do it.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, one, like kind of just mentioned the whole gardening thing. And it's just like, I don't have, like, I live in an apartment and I have like a small back deck. So it's not even like the word garden, let's use that loosely.
Yeah.
But I am starting a garden. I'm trying to, and I'm forcing myself to do it, because I've always said like, oh, I don't have a green thumb. Like, I can't take care of plants and yada, yada, yada. But it's like, no, I need things in my life that I can take care of and nurture, and know that when they are in the light and when they are in the rain, like, they are growing. I'm like, I need things like that. I'm like,
yes,
I'm like, these things were created to like be nurtured. I'm like, let me do that. And another thing I've been doing, and you know, this is really inspired by my son. It's just like, you know, I'm thinking about like all the things that I want to teach him. And it's like, I try to be like a minimalist in the sense of like, I don't like to have a lot of things.
Yes.
So over the past years, like I've moved a lot to, you know, writing a lot of journaling on my phone. I've moved a lot to audiobooks and ebooks. I've moved, all my work is digital. But lately I have been like slowly trying to incorporate some more physical things because it's like, I don't want my son to just read ebooks. Like I want him to be able to flip a page.
Right.
And so and it's, your dad, so it's
didn't you say your dad had books stacked to the ceiling in the house you grew up in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So I grew up, yes. I grew up with a library filled with books and yeah, that library. And I mean, almost all those books in that library came from like yard sales and thrift stores.
I remember growing up. So
yeah. Cool. And I'm like, wow, that really informed me. And I'm like, I definitely want Jacob, my son, to be able to experience that. So, you know, as I'm starting to like walk around bookstores again, and I'm starting to, and it's like, this totally sounds like I'm pitching my book, but I'm not.
Oh, you ain't even gonna have to pitch this book.
Go buy my book.
This book is so dang good. You don't have to pitch it. But if you are walking around a bookstore, pick up Morgan's new book.
Yeah, that's where the ad goes in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm not even saying it for that purpose. Honestly, it was just like, okay, as I watch my son like physically like encounter so many little things in the world, he's just reminding me of like how many things I have been looking over in the pursuit of efficiency. So it's really challenging because it's like, okay, I don't want to have a house full of clutter. I'm like, I like when the surfaces are clean and I like when I can, like I mentioned in that post, when I can file things away. Like I'm super organized. Like all of my digital art is organized by the month in which it was created. Wow. I use Google Drive because fun fact, everyone, if Google Drive, you can search for handwritten text. So
wow,
I'm hand lettering all these words. So if I need to pull up anything that I wrote last May and I don't remember exactly where it is, I can type it in and I can just search photos and it will search text in photos.
Wow.
So it's amazing. Cool. And I'm so grateful for all these tools. However, at the same time, like that endlessness can also just be, it can become a void. And I'm just like, as I, like, I have like this little, like I left the house today. I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to have any thoughts, but like I bought this little notebook and I hadn't used it. And I don't even know when I bought it. And I was like, I'm going to bring this little notebook with me. And I was like, if I have an idea, I'm going to write in it. And the other day I finished a journal and it just felt so gratifying.
Yeah.
Look at what I did. I finished a journal.
Because you had like the whole.
Yeah, it's like journal. Even though I write thousands,
it does feel so good.
Yeah, even though I write thousands of words all the time, like just that simple thing. So that's what I would encourage anyone listening. You know, if you're just like, I don't know if I'm a writer or I just want to write things down, like I encourage you just go fill that journal, that old journal you have that's sitting on, you know, the top of your shelf somewhere collecting dust, like. Just fill it up and it doesn't have to be with words, like turn it into a collage book, like take some magazines and newspapers and just some words you like and just glue them to the page. If you have kids, like do it with them, like, and just see like, oh wow, like these simple things, like, yes, technology is great. Yes, it's great to not have a bunch of stuff, but it is nice to have like a few things that just remind us that we're human
and we're
so free to like, use all of these senses that we've been given, whether it's smelling flowers or tasting spices and ingredients. And so, yeah, that's something like, seriously, all thanks to Jacob.
So. I love that. I love it. Because, okay. So I go back and forth in my life. You know, I feel like as a creative, especially like one like you or I, like you're always a seeker and like, I'm not like you. I'm not super organized with things.
Oh.
So
I go back and forth between I'll watch Netflix documentaries on Marie Kondo and The Minimalist. And I'm like, I gotta get rid of it all. I gotta get rid of everything because it's too much. It's clutter in my mind. It's gotta go. And then like I'll have the home edit come and organize my home. And I got 11 different types of cereal because I have every color of the rainbow. So I'm always going back and forth between maximalist and minimalist. Mm, it's so, I have never heard anyone say anything like that about being efficiently organized and like getting rid of things. I've never heard of anyone talk about that void that comes when you come with efficiency. Yeah. And that's really cool. I don't know if you've written anything about that, but
I haven't. This is the first time.
That's cool. That's the first time. I love that.
It's because you mentioned that because like when I shared that, like I'm like, this is such like a thing I'm still processing. So to hear you read those words back to me, like that just like awakened something in me. I was like, oh yeah, that's something I am working on and I am dealing with. So thank you for even taking the time to read that back to me.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. To be able to like read it to you, like this is such a cool experience. And if you write, because I know you got all the time in the world because you don't have like, you just came out at 8 months old and you 1.1 million all followers the time. You're writing for. But if you write something about that, because I mean, I would love to post something and share something, you know, like that.
I think I will. Yeah, I think you really inspired me to, because it's like, I have been thinking like, you know, writing other books and things. I'm like, you know, what are some topics that I want to go deeper in? And I wanted to reflect like what's actually happening in real life. And
that is
real. It is so real.
I'm like,
we have like our little system, but now there's a little guy and he does not have a system. There's stuff everywhere.
That's his system. And he's like, get on board because this is the right system. He's got it all figured out. Like they've all got it figured out.
I know. It's just,
yeah. And especially like in the flurry of 2020 and getting things done and becoming the person that I want to be in that new decade. Mm. And like all of this talk of rebirth, like everyone thinks when I figure these things out in my life and when I put all these things in order, when I check off all these boxes, when I get the spouse and the house and all of these things, then I'm going to be living my life. And then I'm going to be happy. And this, what we've just been talking about, it reminds me of that, like, there's that void. If like you can't exist when it's not all efficient and it's, and when it's not, you know, there it's, I talk about it a lot in my podcast and living fully, like while we're all on the journey, a lot of people, they defer their happiness until those things, until they're there. And, you know, you waste your whole life away and then you get to those things and you and I both know, you realize once you get the things, you're happy for like 10 seconds. And then,
Exactly. And and I just want to like, it kind of like, again, mentioning that post, I'm just like, I'm not one of those people that's just like, you know, go throw your iPhone away. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like, I think it would be beneficial if we can all, and even just set a tone for the next generation to just like, really be mindful of like these infinite scrolls in our lives, whatever they are, of just scrolls. Like, it's like, oh, it never ends. And just really like trying to create things in our life that remind us like, okay, this is where I stop, you know?
Right. Cause it's never like, going to end.
It ends up getting into so many areas of our lives. And I think that, so, you know, so I receive a lot of stories, and a lot of stories that I receive are from young people and college students and high school students. And the amount of students that I receive stories from who are just like, I'm so stressed out because I don't know what to do. Like, I feel called to like move to another country and do this. And then I also feel like I need to do that. And I got to do this and I got to do that. And it's just like, oh my goodness. Like, it's like, what can we do about this so that people know that it's like, yeah, if you just work one job, you could have a really happy life. Like,
what a great line that you just said.
It's like, or if you, yeah, it's like, or if it changes next year. Like, if you get to college and then your major changes, or
it's okay.
It's okay. It is okay. It's like,
that's your life.
It's like, okay, you know, how am I being provided for? You know, do I have people in my life that I can love and they can love me? Like, you know, just the simple things. And I know it's so much easier said than done. And I still have frenzies in my mind, you know, every other hour where I'm like,
you and me both. You and me both. Yep. But like,
you know, it's about the recovery and how we can get back and say, you know what, it's all right, you know. I still may have my anxious thoughts. I still may have my self-doubts, but like, how am I going to serve? How am I going to give? How am I going to be present? And
that's
kind of where I am right now.
Oh man, that's beautiful. And it's so true. Like, you know, I get those same DMs and you wish that you could respond mm-hmm. to all of them. And mm-hmm. it's like, it's almost people's therapy. Maybe they're not going to walk through a door of a therapist like I have, mm-hmm. but social media becomes a little bit of that for them. And it's like, you wish that you could give them what they need, but you're inspiring them with what they need. And I love what you just said about, you know, the young people, because so many people are in just a tizzy, a flurry, a frenzy in their minds. And I'm like you, I get in it all the time myself. And it's like, if we can just step back, it's like, if we could all step back and watch our lives, like they were on a TV screen, we could say, oh, stop doing that, because this is going to mm-hmm. happen. And you're going to realize all this worrying is for nothing.
Yes.
But we can't in the moment. And we can waste our lives away worrying and worrying. And I think that that's some of your imagery and your words. They stop people dead in their tracks because they're in that frenzy and that flurry. And they're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, that endless scroll. And then something that you said, it stops them dead in their tracks and it just brings them back to base camp. Like, my dad's a mountain climber. He's climbed Everest and done all these things. And
Think
about base camp. When you're climbing Everest, like, you climb, it gets dangerous. It gets sketchy. There's all these things at the top. And then you come back down to base camp. You literally catch your breath. You get used to the oxygen and acclimate. Mm. You go back up to the next level and you come back down. And you remind me of that on the internet. You bring people down to base camp.
Okay, we have to hang out in real life.
Let's do it.
Seriously, I wrote in my journal yesterday, I wrote this down. I wish I had it with me, but I'm not at home right now. I wrote something down along the lines of, like, I just want to tell the stories from when I'm coming back down from the mountain.
And are you serious?
I wrote that down. I was like, I want to just keep going on the journey in my real life, the day to day, the highs and lows, and just keep climbing and climbing. And it's like, when I get there, and when I get to those moments where I'm like, oh, all these things are happening, like, when I come back down, there will be stories to tell from that, from those moments up there. And it's like, I'm not always going to be up there. But when I am, like, let me take it all in and I'll bring stories back with me.
Yes, so like, we don't have to tell the story. That is, I can't believe that. It's such a God thing, you know, when things line up like that. How cool. And like, we don't have to, I always get really caught up, Morgan, in like, I want to tell the story when I'm at the top of the mountain. And that makes me really take it all in. I want to count it. You want to tell people while you're there. But isn't that a good point that, like, how can you take it in if you're spreading it out? How can you take it when you're...
That is so good.
So it's like all these lessons from base camp. Like, if we can just have the experience, because you and I both know that, like, when you're in the middle of it, the experience, and like, I'm one too on Instagram stories all the time, and I always have to make myself take a step back, because it's like, I'm living my life right here, and I'm telling the story from the mountaintop. I need to experience this way more from the mountaintop and tell the story from the dang base camp. You just reminded me of that. You are, I'm feeling so, I'm just,
I know.
I don't even know what to say right now. You're like, literally, this was meant to be for me to have this conversation.
Yes, today. I'm so grateful.
Really cool. This is really cool. Yes. And I want to, like, I could talk to you literally all day long, but I don't want to make you sit in the parking lot, because I know you've got this book that's just come out and everything. And I want to read two things in closing, because I was reading something. I read two things about you. I read something, an article that Forbes did about you that was like the coolest thing that they said. So this was from your interview with Forbes, and I wrote this down. So it says, you're talking about these stories that, you know, you're connecting to. So you say, I'm connecting to a part of their story that also connects to my story in some ways. People want to be affirmed that they are making progress and that they are growing. And how many times have I known that in my own life? When you take the time to really listen to someone's story, you'll start to see that there's something in there that you can also connect with. And I love that. And I feel like everything that I've read about your book, it seems to talk about that and affirm that. And I'm one that I want people to connect with other people, I want people to connect with other human beings, not just on the internet, but like in their real lives with their families and with their children and with their spouses. And that, I think that's why that when I was reading that article that jumped out at me. So then I really dove into like, you know, reading about your book and what this book is about and everything. And I read this quote and it's so cool because my brand is like Live Fully. Living Fully is my podcast. Say Live Fully in this description about your book. So I want to read this and I want you to tell me then, you know, about your version of living fully. So here's the quote. This is about your new book that's just come out. The book is called All Along You Were Blooming, and it's just amazing. So everybody has to grab a copy. And it says, there's a purpose in every season. And no matter how you want to race through this day or run away from this place, rest assured that you are invited to live fully right here, right now. And that right there, like, just so connects with me and with the message that I'm trying to share in this podcast and everything that I do. So can I ask you, I know you've already said it, but just one more, you know, word of advice on how you believe people can live fully right here, right now.
So that is such a beautiful question. And I love that that's what you are about. And now I've got to go listen to some more episodes. I think a lot of things come to mind, but the first thing that came to mind is just like thinking about, like, you know, the word really, I love the word invitation, because I think for me, like, as you know, like kind of like a homeschool preacher's kid, loner kind of kid, I didn't really feel like I had a lot of invitations to things. So that word has always stood out to me. When I get invited to something, I feel very honored. I'm like, oh, I get to, you know, even if I can't make it, I'm like, oh, they thought of me. Like, that's kind. Like, that's still like, even like, it's so funny because like sometimes I say things like that, people are like, yeah, right, you have like a million Instagram followers. I'm like, that doesn't, I'm like, I'm
it doesn't
still
feel
like,
that void,
I'm like, I don't know how other people get 10 million followers, but I got there by being an introvert who loves to make art all the time. So yeah. I'm like, I didn't get here by like making a whole bunch of like appearances at parties and things. I
was on my iPad.
Yeah, I'm like, exactly. I love people and I love sharing art with people. I'm like, it's pretty simple. But anyway, why was I saying all that? Oh yeah. So anyway, just realizing like really thinking about that word invitation, and it's like, what does it mean to like be invited to this moment? Like, if this was like, think about your dream thing that you would like to be invited to. Like, it's different for everyone. Some people are like, oh, a party with all my closest friends. Some people it's like a retreat in the mountains or on the beach. Like, what does that look like for you? And like, how can this moment like reflect that excitement that you have? It's like, wow, I have been invited to really, really take in that in this moment, amidst everything that's going on in my life, the sky is blue right now. There's birds in the trees. Like, how neat is that? Like, just, you could even just think of it like in the way a child would think about it. Like, they're just fascinated by every little thing. And it's just, it's so, and again, you know, I'm really in that mode now because, you know, I'm chasing around a almost 8-month-old who's learning how to crawl. So I'm just like, literally, I watched him last night just like stare at a vent for just like 3 minutes because it made like the slightest noise. Like, he was just like, whoa, It's like I've never noticed that before.
If we can all just be like that.
Yeah. The other day, the garage door went up and he was like, just speechless. Like his face was filled with like terror and awe at the same time. Like, what is happening? Yes. And it's just like, you know, I don't have moments like that anymore because in my mind, oh, I've seen it all. You know, yeah. I know. Yeah. It's same old garage, same old house, same old job, same old town. But just really thinking like, how can I experience like the fullness in this moment? How can I go deeper here? And yeah. I felt like I heard God tell me something years ago and it stuck with me. And there's been a very, very few moments in my life where I felt like I heard like God speak to me in a way that was so audible that it was like, oh, someone's in the car with me right now.
Yeah.
And
one of those moments
was, it was in a season where I was like feeling like, okay, I'm a Christian creative. So I need to write Bible studies and devotionals. And I started doing that. And I got to a point where I was just kind of like, everything, even in my own personal, like devotional time, I kept thinking about like, oh, I could post this on Instagram. And I felt God telling me like, I need you to go a little deeper than that. Like, wow. It's not just about like reading something. Oh, here's a little bit for me. Here's a little bit for Instagram. It's like, I need you to go deeper into this text that you've been reading your whole life. I need you to like really, really think about what does grace look like in this exact moment? What does peace look like here? And what I heard was go deeper and I will meet you there. And that is just something that I just hold on to. Wow. And when I think about living fully, I think about that just like fully, just making that commitment to going deeper, you know, even in the uneasy things, you know, those people in our lives who, when they're telling their stories, like they take a long time to get to the point, you know, it's just like, how can I go deeper with this person? Wow. You know,
gosh,
what does that
what a
mean?
Beautiful
These
thing.
Are things I'm figuring out. I don't know the answer. So
what a beautiful thing.
You know, so just asking those questions, like maybe, so maybe that's what living fully is. I'm sorry. I gave such a long answer.
No, that is amazing. I'm writing it down right now. Oh. Go deeper and I will meet you there. And man, that's so beautiful because we want it all right now. We want it barely comes to the surface.
Yeah, it's like,
man, that is just beautiful. And Morgan, well, I cannot say enough about you and your spirit and the light that you are in this world. We have to hang out. So
I know.
Okay,
yes.
I've got to get your info after this. And
yes.
I want to just tell people. So
yeah, I'm definitely going to internet stalk you. I'm like, how did I not know about you? Like,
I feel the same way. I feel the same way. And okay, so everyone, me and you, we're hanging out.
Yes.
A lot of people that maybe are somewhere else and can't hang out with us, they can buy your book. So this is your latest book. It's called All Along You Are Blooming. And it delivers a striking collection of illustrated poetry and prose, inviting you to stumble into the sunlight. I love that. Mm. Stumble into the sunlight. Sometimes we have to stumble into the sunlight and delight in the wild and boundless grace that you have been given. And it's available everywhere now. I'm going to put the link in all of my show notes. And I want to leave them with this message about your book, because this was another one of those lines that just really moved me and I think will move the audience. So. Mm. Light will always find you. And even when the sun sets and you sit awaiting the dawn, know that you are still blooming in the way that you were meant to. And in each small moment, whether in the light or the dark, you can make room for becoming, for breathing, for stumbling, and for simply being. For there is grace today and every day. Kyle just walked around the corner of my husband because he's going to stop this for me. And he was like, I love that. Yeah. That's just so special. Like, especially the end of our conversation too, where we were just talking about how, like, you know, if we can just take in the moments when we're on top of the mountain and like shout it from base camp, like share it from base camp. It's so, you've got to send me like that, what you said in your journal. You've got, because I want, when I'm like, I've got
to. Yeah, when I get home, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. Yeah.
So, Morgan, thank you so much for this, for today.
Thank you. Thank you. This conversation, like this moment, is so special. So I'm so grateful.
I am just feeling it. So thank you so much for that and for writing this book. We talked a little bit before about what a process it was to write this book, and it's a labor of love, but to have it out there and for people to read, every single person mm-hmm. to listen to this podcast, and I'm going to do a swipe up on Instagram and everything. Everybody needs this book in their hands. Mm-hmm. It's going to help us in so many ways. So thanks so much, Morgan. And thank you guys all for listening to this. I'm going to include all this information about Morgan's book that's available now everywhere in my show notes, and I'll share more about it on Instagram. But thank you for this conversation today.
Yes, and thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Living Fully with Mallory Irvin. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss a single minute of encouragement and inspiration to live your best life. Want more? Join us on MalloryIrvin.com so we can connect with you on Instagram and YouTube. Start living your life now. You've only got one. We'll see you next time.